everybody, and welcome to Take a Knee. I'm so glad you've joined me again here today. I'm so very excited about my next topic. I want to talk to you about destiny. We all love rags to riches stories. You know, you think about all the stories that we love to watch and to listen to, movies and books and such. They tap into the hope that maybe, just maybe, the fairy tale will be ours. That's why we watch them. That's why we love them. I mean, think about Harry Potter, one of the biggest book and movie successes of all time. The orphan becomes the wizard. Of course, J.K. Rowling, she adds to this element power, which of course, not only going from a place of being abused and set aside and forgotten to the most well-known youngster in this wizarding world, but on top of it all, having an incredible power. I think of The Count of Monte Cristo, one of my favorite stories. I love the TV version of it probably more just because it's shorter and to the point and actually has a much more positive ending. Of course, The Count of Monte Cristo, Edmond, he is in a situation where he's on top of the world and then he's betrayed by his friend and he's in prison. I believe it was for like 13 years. And then he's able to miraculously supernaturally almost meet this priest who is sitting on top of one of the greatest rich hoards ever gathered by man, hiding in a place that only he knew about. And then when, of course, he's getting ready to die, he tells Edmond about it. And then he, of course, is able to go and bring revenge to all of those who put him in his situation. I mean, talk about an amazing story. I mean, how many of us would really like, if given the opportunity, to be able to change our circumstances within a moment and perhaps even bring vengeance to all those who have taken advantage of us or hurt us? I think of also The Illusionist, one of my favorite movies, as this young boy who is the son of a carpenter who can't ever access the world of the elite, of the princes and kings and princesses. Here he falls in love with one of the royal children and yet is not able to ever have any hope of being a part of her life. And yet the movie is all about that, how he's able to use magic and illusion in order to get his dreams fulfilled. I think of Invincible, the wonderful movie, a true story, actually, about a man who is a teacher. He's never played college football. He's actually a part-time teacher in the 70s, has a life that is just very, very, just a struggle. And yet here he's able to use these latent gifts to be able to try out, you know, just a walk-on tryout for the Philadelphia Eagles, and then actually makes the team. And then again, this rags-to-riches story that we just look at and we love so much because they are the improbable heroes. We can go back even further when it comes to literature. And we think of Charles Dickens, his stories, all of them about children who are able to claw their way out of the workhouses. And in the case of Oliver, where he's an orphan and he, you know, begging for food. And of course, they're never going to let him have any more food so that they actually get strong and capable. And Oliver stumbles out into the streets and is, again, you know, a situation, the improbable situation where he is able to actually make connection with an uncle or someone who knew his mother who had died. And then now he goes from being this pauper, this little thief, this poor little forgotten child who sings, "Where is love?" is then discovered, and now he's living in absolute opulence. We love these kind of stories because they remind us that in some cases, our dismal circumstances can change in an instant. We love that idea, which is why the lottery is something that I think people put a lot of hope and dreams. And I've heard people say, you know, one day I'm going to strike it rich, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But if the truth be told, you are more likely to be hit by lightning than to have one of these experiences. But again, the hope sells, not the reality. You know, the reality, I guess there are a lot of movies that talk about the reality, but they don't become nearly as popular as the ones that I've just described. And you know, you think about J.K. Rowling, certainly she discovered the formula, didn't she? She's now well worth over $1 billion. And I said billion with a B. This was a woman who was a single parent and was very much struggling. And as she was writing these stories, she got turned down by 12 different publishers until finally somebody decided to publish her stories. And then they're turned into these movies. And then, of course, now the rest is history. See, the dream of something greater than our situation in life is something that we all hope for, right? There are other ways to change our circumstances, and we know this. We can work hard in school. We can say, you know, I'm going to work super hard and I'm going to try to create opportunities for me by doing everything I can. We can work hard or on the field. Let's say you're an athlete and you've got special skills. You've got aptitude, as we like to call it, so that we hope to become something great. We can invest our money, maybe really early, and we put off all of our desires to have anything, and we live very frugally, maybe even somewhat in a poor status, so that one day we're actually become incredibly wealthy. In fact, that's what you hear a lot of people say. You never see a millionaire driving a Lexus out there in their driveway. Interesting. Maybe that's a whole nother discussion. But we struggle early on so that our fortunes can grow as we get older. That's, again, the dream, the hope. But very few people really do that. We can become more disciplined and learn languages and new skills. But what I have learned is that you can't teach speed. You know, you've heard that before. You can't teach speed. And because we're taught, you know, this is kind of an athletic leaning type podcast. You know, we learn that about the guys that in coaching world and in the athletic world that they say you might know the game. You might even be big and huge and strong. But a lot of times it comes down to speed. Sometimes it's just smarts. Sometimes it's just being able to stay healthy, be disciplined. You can't teach these things sometimes. Sometimes they're just innate. We might even call them gifts from God. Well, they most certainly are. So again, there is this thing called aptitude or potential. But you can make up for any lack that one may have with other skills. We know that. And you can only go so far, but then there are a lot of people who do succeed. And I read it all the time. I read it on Instagram. I read it on Facebook. I follow some of these motivational speakers, and it's good. They're usually business-oriented, and they talk a lot about your attitude. They talk about, hey, look, if you'll just do these 10 things, your life will be incredibly changed. I don't know if that's absolutely true. I don't know that I've ever done all 10 things on that list, to be honest. You know, I've tried to be more disciplined. I've tried to read more. You know, there are people that like to read a book a week. Some people a book a month. There are people who like to challenge themselves in learning new languages. And there are people who discipline themselves to get up super early in the morning so that they have more time in the day. Or maybe they go to bed early so that they get lots more sleep than the average person. Or go to the gym every single day. I mean, there are a lot of different things that we can do to improve our lives. And we know that they will have a benefit. They will. To keep our attitudes right. And to set us up. I think of Tom Brady, you know, you probably say, oh, you had to bring him up. I think of Tom Brady, who is someone that is either loved or hated for sure. But let's be honest, his story is pretty incredible. He was drafted very late, I think the sixth round, in fact. That's getting pretty deep. In other words, deep enough to wonder if you're ever going to be drafted at all. And he began to wonder and had a little bit of despair because he was not fast. They said he looked like a baby giraffe running. He was not impressive at the NFL combine, yet he made up for it with absolute determination. Anyone who's ever known him knew that he had all of these physical deficiencies, but he did have an awesome and very powerful arm. He knew the game in that he studied the game. He studied very hard, studied defenses. He was well known for that, legendary for that. Anybody who ever played with him, he said, look, I'll meet you first thing in the morning. 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, there in front of the film to get ready for that next game. Again, he was legendary. So the reality is that he had this determination. And when he had his chance, he took it. We can influence the outcome. We can ultimately begin to discover that we have a certain set of skills. There are variables, strengths and weaknesses, knowing our strengths and capitalizing on those, right? And then often it comes down to just opportunities. Opportunities. Man, how many times have I read of people that became famous, whether it be actors or given opportunities in the business world, that they just had that one moment where somebody walked across their path or they ended up being with someone that really influenced their future. And I tell you what, that's definitely part of my testimony, part of my life. Here I was growing up, a young man who I didn't really have a lot of influence, a lot of experience, a lot of opportunity. I think I had a pretty decent mind. In other words, I had aptitude, but I didn't have opportunity. But the moment I accepted Christ in my life, then doors began to open. But those doors were doors that the Spirit of God led me down. And I could have tried to do things other ways, but I chose to go and move to Fayetteville, North Carolina, because God told me to do that. And even though I wanted to leave, I knew that I was called to adjoin myself, to come alongside this man who was only 5 years older than me, but yet had an incredible amount of wisdom and faith. It was his faith that drew me, his faith that I could see. I looked at him and I thought, you know, he wasn't physically impressive. There wasn't anything about him that I thought that in my world, having grown up among giants physically, but I saw his faith and his love for God and his determination and his discipline that really inspired me. And so I had an opportunity, didn't I? Well, going back to Tom, Tom would never have had the chance that he had to become the great GOAT Tom Brady of the NFL if Drew Bledsoe hadn't been injured. So there you have it. I mean, there's Drew Bledsoe, who was the name. He was the brand. He was the future of the New England Patriots. He was making big money. And on that one fateful day, I think it was against the New York Jets, he got hammered and had an internal bleeding in one of his lungs. He almost died. And as a result, Tom came in and Tom started to bring wins. And they were like, well, can't really go back. Everybody doubted what was going on there. My point is this, opportunity came along. You're probably wondering where I am really heading with all of this. And I'll take you there right now. Because when it comes to opportunity, what can we learn? When we think about destiny and we think about hope and we think about the aptitude that we have and our open doors that we might have or not have, what can we learn from all this? And what does God have to say about all this? This is where I'm going to take you to something I think it's going to cause you to think quite a bit. When I teach theology, I try to help people see this, especially young pastors and people that I connect with. And I don't know that they always get it because we tend to fall into the camp of the theological discipline that we were trained in. And of course, I'm Reformed. I grew up that way. That was my exposure, was Reformation theology, and I still hold to that very strongly. But when it comes to understanding God and it comes to understanding our life, those are the things that people really battle over when it comes to the free will, when we talk about destiny. What does God know and when did he know it? God knows all things and he's always known it. But how does that really affect your life? How does it explain some of these rags to riches stories? How does it explain the Tom Brady's of the world? Well, it's hard, isn't it? But let me give you this perspective. When it comes to seeing God, understanding God, there's really one perspective that I think most of us, we can't get out of it. We can't help but being human beings that look up. We look up. We try to understand God from our human existence. We're down here on the earth, and we're trying to make sense of all that happens around us. And so then we naturally either say, well, there isn't a God because things didn't go so well for me. He doesn't love me, doesn't care, and so there is no God. Or you could be the one who everything did happen wonderfully for, and you had all these amazing things that would happen that seemed random, but perhaps that's a person who says, well, maybe there is a God because, you know, I was locked up in a prison, and then I found this wonderful treasure, and now I can go change the world with it. Yes, God. But there's also another perspective, and that is being able to be in heaven looking down. And you say, wait, Pastor David, how are we supposed to get that perspective? What, are we supposed to go up to heaven like John did in the book of Revelation and look down? Well, that's one way, but it's not likely going to be any of our ways. There is another way, and that is the Bible. See, the Bible is the only way we can get a perspective of looking from God's point of view, because God gives it to us. He tells us. He shares with us the counsel of his will. What he tells us is that he knows everything. What he tells us, and those who get to know him, like the prophets, like those who wrote songs about him, like Solomon, right? We'll get to him in a minute. But we can only know what we know about God from his perspective, from his word. The only way, which is why we have theology. And of course, now we can interpret what we read in the Bible differently. But ultimately, if we're honest, and when we read the scriptures and what we know about God and God's character, his attributes, then we know that he is all-seeing, all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's omnipotent, he's everywhere present. This is what the Bible tells us. And then we, from our perspective as human beings, have to mix it all in and therefore come to a conclusion, which I hope to help you find today. The Bible tells us that no man ultimately can control his own destiny. In other words, his ultimate path or even his destination. See, destiny and destination belong to God. This is really interesting. I got to share this with you real quick. You know, the other day I was thinking about destiny and I was praying over a particular person And I was like, you know, that word destiny, I need to look it up. So I went into one of my tools, you know, a very exhaustive Bible study program that I have, and I typed in destiny. And you know what I discovered? That out of all the different uses of the word destiny, and I think there were 13 of them that I discovered, maybe more, but in what I was looking at was only 13 that the actual word destiny in this particular translation was used 13 times. And guess what? 12 of those were negative. 12 of those was the destiny of the wicked, the destiny of those who do not fear me, the destiny of, and I thought, wow, there was only one verse that I found in the New Testament that had anything to do with it being positive and that our destiny's in him, right? Our destiny is in him. And even then, the word destiny, as it was used in the New Testament, had nothing to do with my control. My destiny is in him. Wow. It got me really thinking about our need to control our destiny. And we take a lot of steps. We write a lot of books. We do a lot of things. And there are a lot of steps that we can take. I've already talked about the spirit-led steps. And the other, of course, is fleshly steps. But see, God looks down from heaven and he laughs at the futile attempts for us to try to lengthen our lives, the things that we do to try to change our destiny. And I can get more specific on that. We may do certain things to affect the quality of our life. Even those things can backfire. Why? Because almost like Solomon, we can say, well, I knew a person, and we've all known him, who ran every day of their life, who ate nothing but good food, that lived in paradise, but they died an early death. We know of people that, you know, the good die young. You know, we all know these things. And it's enough for us to be able to back away and say, you know what? There is no pattern here. Yeah, there is a pattern there. And that pattern is that God is in control of it all. The Bible does tell us that life and death is in the hand of the Lord. And yes, there are ways that scurrying little human beings on the earth where we can make the quality of our life better, we certainly can. We have been given a garden, just like Adam and Eve, right? They could control their little garden, but God owned the earth. They only had one perspective, you see? And that is exactly the way it is. We can't change our destination other than what is revealed to us. And oh, I know this is going to, some of you are going to just going to drive you crazy with what I'm saying here. But what to me, it's just like, well, if I have any illumination to the reality of God, it's him. If I grew up in a world where people talked about Jesus around me, it's him. I had nothing to do with that. At the age of 5 years old, which I can barely remember, apparently I used to talk about God. I used to look up into the sky and say, God, you're really big out there. I remember as a fifth grader, I would read the New Testament that somebody put in my hand, and I read it and I believed it. And so these are the kind of things that we look at and ponder and wonder about. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? We can look back and wish we had had different experiences, made different choices, but could we? Well, we know we can't go back and change any of that. And do choices to improve our life, do they really end up improving us? There are people who go from rags to riches and they become incredibly wealthy, but does that compute or does it follow that they're going to be happier? Well, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1 tells us that as a discovery of the wisest, smartest man on the planet, who said, better a dry crust than a house full of feasting and strife. Does it follow that having all of the wonderful things in our life affect our destiny? When our God is our stomachs and our brains, our wombs are our gods, we feel we control our destiny, but we really don't. The mistake is that we fail to keep eternity in mind. Ah, now we're talking with cheese here, or cooking with gas, right? Eternity. See, when we think of eternity and we bring eternity into the discussion on destiny, then everything changes. Because when we think of eternity, it is so much longer, right, than the blip of our life. Smartest man, Solomon, David, says the same thing, that our life is like a flower that fades. It's here today, gone tomorrow. I know you've spent time perhaps looking at graveyards, looking at gravestones. I know you've looked at historical figures and wonder, what is it that they really did? Yes, we can eat better. We can eat less. We can walk, move, pray, live, stop stressing. Really, my word to you would be to stop stressing and stop trying to control your destiny. I mean, ultimately, that's sin. I think we continue to rediscover what has already been discovered. That, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't fret. Don't fear. Don't wear yourself trying to get rich. Don't wear yourself out trying to be healthier. Don't try to wear yourself out to do all these things, but to live in balance and just be grateful for the opportunity of life that you've been given. Yes, there are simple things that we can do to improve our life, and we can do it. And when they're spirit-led and when we open the door to eternity, then it all makes sense. I don't know that I'm making sense here, but listen to this. There's a 103-year-old man who was asked, what was the key to your longevity? You know what he said? He said, I smoke and I drink every day. You think I'm lying? That's exactly what he said. And he was serious. Fear God, not death. Fear God, not loneliness. The wise see beyond their circumstances and see that life is not better for one over another. Do and embrace what you're given. Be faithful to what God has placed in front of you. The gifts. Run with passion with what God has given you. See, we see this in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon's endless search for wealth and pleasure took him to a place in the end of soullessness, and really in a sense of brokenness, where he finally gives us those words of saying, you know what? Just enjoy your life. When we think of all that he had done to improve his world, to build the buildings, to build the temple, I mean, was it a waste of time? Well, maybe. I mean, if you think about that glorious temple, in the end, it was all torn down and all its gold, all the things that David had gathered, all were taken away to Babylon. Solomon's pursuit was monumental, but all that remains of his incredible life are his words. His money is gone. His progeny was gone. Rehoboam, his son, was a fool. His advice? Serve God. Embrace the little that you have. Enjoy your lot. Improve what you can, but remember, it doesn't save you, nor can it bring you any more happiness. Only a life fully poured out to God can do that. Our destiny is set, my friends. Our eternity is waiting, and you can make it a peaceful one right now. And what do I mean by that? Well, through all of this conversation of destiny, there is one truth that pierces all of this, and that is Jesus Christ. Once again, Jesus comes into the world like a flash of lightning, in saying, you know what? Mankind can do nothing. So he came to rescue us. That's what happened, my friends. You and I have contributed nothing and will contribute nothing to our salvation and destiny, except for the sin and the brokenness that we've brought into this world with us. What we have is an answer. What we have is a solution. What we have is one who comes in piercing through this darkness and come and to lift us up out of this rags situation and to bring us into riches. So in the end, what we all really desire and want to have is to be delivered from this hopeless world. And you know what? We've got it. We do have a rags to riches story, folks, and we can be made wealthy beyond this world. Remember, it's about eternity. It's not about here. If we only look from our perspective looking up, then it's very dismal. Even Solomon, who had everything, came to that conclusion. But when we let Jesus come and take us into eternity and realize that we now are going to be the wealthiest people on the world, not in the terms of the world and how it views it, we're also going to be the most joyous people. We're going to be the most blessed people, not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of eternity. And in the end, that brings us the greatest peace and the greatest joy of knowing that all I really need to do is hitch my wagon to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to understand that, yes, what does the scripture say? It says, he chose me. I'm grateful for that. If you're listening to this podcast, then that's you. If your heart is being stirred and you've come to the end of this podcast with me, then God is knocking on the door. He's ready to come. He's ready to reveal himself to you. And guess what? This was all part of the plan. It's time for you to just give in and let him have your heart. Let him have your life, to believe and to receive, and let your destiny be swallowed up in him. Remember, out of the 13, there's 12 bad ones, but one good one. And that good destiny is wrapped up in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Choose him today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, that there are so many different confusing perspectives in this world. And Lord, we all in this technological world have such access to such human improvements. Just heard today that Elon Musk successfully put a brain chip into a human being, and they're recovering, quote unquote, really well. And they're able to move a mouse on a computer screen with their mind, with their thoughts. Lord, I don't know what we will continue to do to try to improve our lives, but I can guarantee you this, and I know you can guarantee it, that it will not change our destiny. It will not change our eternity. Only you can do that. So Lord, I pray for anyone who's listening right now, that if they have not given their life to Christ, that they would choose you. I pray right now that, Lord, those who are discouraged about their life and maybe wishing things could be better, Lord, help us to all see, yes, there are certain things that we can do, and Holy Spirit, lead us to those things. But Lord, ultimately, let us put our hope in you, and let us know that, God, our destiny is wrapped up in you. And Lord, to not labor under perfection or, Lord, under comparison. Oh, Lord, of all those things that Solomon bit into, all those lies that he bit into, and then he came to the same conclusion. Lord, let us not waste time, but Lord, to honor you, to love you, to lift you up in all that we do. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thanks for joining me here on Take a Knee. And I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Share it, and we'll see you next week.